Good evening. Everybody doing all right? It's dark outside, but you know what? There's plenty of light in here. You know? And, you know, I've been thinking about today. Today's the anniversary. Because on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918, a single shot rang out from the 11th Field Artillery Regiment to mark the closing shot of World War I. In the 11th hour of the 11th day, 100 years ago today, that final shot rang out to end the Great War. And that gave rise to Armistice Day. It's a celebration of that day. And then, because they were celebrating that was going to be the last war. It was the Great War. It was the war to end all wars. But you know, people, always got to outdo ourselves. We had to have a second one, right? And we had to have World War II. And after World War II, they changed Armistice Day in the, I think it was 1953, to Veterans Day. A day to celebrate veterans, the ones that are alive, and the ones that gave their lives. And, buddy, will you play that video for me?
The 11th hour does not strike on the clock of every man. For at this time, most of us can be found at home, comfortable, knowing tomorrow is right on its way. At the 11th hour, most of us can be found in our beds. But in another world, our men and our women, our brothers and our sisters, live in this hour. Tick, 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 tick. Every second for you, every second for me. So it was on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918. The guns were lowered. The trenches grew silent. And an armistice was declared between the Allied nations and Germany. A great war hushed so that the wives, the children, the fathers and the mothers could salute back across the ocean. And it is on this day each year that we have stopped to salute our veterans, our men and women of the 11th hour. So today, it's our turn. It's our turn to show our gratitude. It's our turn to applaud when they stand. It's our turn to thank God for you. Yes, it's our turn to say thank you for going in our stead.
That all you can do is say thank you. Amen. Thank you to a veteran. No matter how you feel about war, no matter how you feel about the president, the government, whatever, you can have those feelings because of a veteran. And Veterans Day is important to me. I didn't serve. My dad didn't serve, but my grandpa did. He served in World War II. And you know, different people that we know served, and all gave some, but some gave all, like Brother Larry was saying earlier. They all gave up something for me, for freedom, for loyalty. Because it's a veteran that gives us the freedom of speech. It's a veteran that upholds the right to vote. It's because of a veteran we're here today. And I want to say thank you to all the veterans in this room and all the veterans that hear this. I stand today because of your sacrifice.
Yes. Amen.
And those two little words, it's just, they're really simple, but at the same time, they're heartfelt. Thank you. Thank you for what you did. Because each person that's a veteran, they answered a call. A call to action. A call to arms. A call for honor and a call to protect freedom. Some of them carry outward wounds. Maybe they have a scar or have lost a limb. Some of them carry inward wounds that we'll never see. Especially true of some of the stuff that I have some friends that went over to Iraq. I don't even begin to ask them what they've gone through. But they did it all in the name of answering a call. And each of those scars, whether outward or inward, they're a testimony of what they've been through. What they've been through for freedom. And you know, like I said, I've never been in the military. I mean, I may never fight in the infantry. I may never ride in the cavalry. Heck, I may never even shoot the artillery. I guarantee you I'm not going to fly over the enemy. But you know what I am in? I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army, an army advancing the cause of Christ. You know, and it's a big thing, is the Lord's army. You know, several times in the Bible, Paul refers to us fellow Christians as fellow soldiers in the fight.
Amen.
And in Ephesians 6 and 10, he tells us to put on the armor of God. Because we're in a battle. We're part of a greater battle that's bigger than us.
Yes.
Ephesians 6:10. He says, in these words, he says, a final word, be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Put all of God's armor on so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies and tricks of the devil. He tells us to put on the armor. Suit up. Show up for the army of God because Not because we're going to have tea time. Not because we're playing dress up. It's because war is coming. War is coming. And you know what? It's already here. War is coming and it's here all around us. He says, put on the armor of God. Because it's a great thing. It's a great honor to be part of that army. You know, back in the Roman times, it was a great honor to be a soldier. To be selected to be a soldier. And each soldier was branded with a hot iron to identify themselves as a soldier. Everyone knew that that person was a soldier because of the marks that they bore. And you know, the scar of war, of a war wound, was also something for a soldier to be proud of. Because you know, I learned a long time ago, chicks dig scars. Just saying. But it was such a soldier's branding and a scar that Paul was talking about when had in mind in Galatians 6:17 when he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I bear the scars. Paul was saying, I have given my body for the Lord's work. I carry those scars with me. Over in 2 Corinthians 11, there's a whole section where Paul is accounting of all the things that he endured. He got whipped. He was in several shipwrecks. He was put in prison countless times because he chose to fight for the army of God. And in that, he can say, I carry those marks of Christ. And all of that, and each of those scars that he carried with him was a testimony of God. It was a testimony of the things of God. Every scar that he bore, every time he got whipped, it was him. He could look at that and show other people, this is because of my God. This was a testimony of the things of God. So it begs us to ask, and I ask myself this, am I a soldier of the cross? Am I willing to be committed and faithfully follow God? That's the question of the day. Am I a soldier of the cross? Because see, being a soldier of the cross is about being committed to the things of God, to faithfully follow Him no matter what is in front of you. It doesn't matter what's in front, behind, or all around you. It's following God anyway, marching in that army to advance the cause of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, will you throw that up there for me? In the King James Version, it says, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Saying, be steadfast, be firm in the things of God. Be immovable. Have an unshakable faith in the things of God. And it's looking at your troubles and saying, come hell or high water, me and my house will serve the Lord. That's what it, being part of the army of the Lord is all about. Because you know, it doesn't matter what the press says. It doesn't matter what politicians or the mob around you says. And it doesn't matter if the whole country decides that something is wrong is actually right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anyone says, because this nation was founded on one principle above all else. The requirement that we stand up for what we believe. No matter the odds or the consequences, when the mob and the press and the whole world around you tells you to move, your job is to plant yourself like a tree by the water and say, no, you move. You move. Because my faith is standing on a rock. Whew. 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 I gotta, man. See, that is following my God. Come hell or high water,
right,
me and my house will serve the Lord. I want to look over in 2 Timothy real quick. I like the book of 2 Timothy. It's Paul instructing Timothy all about, you know, life, how to be a leader, how to do certain things. And in 2 Timothy verse 3, Paul is telling Timothy straight up, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Endure suffering along with me. Because you know what? Bad things are going to happen. You're guaranteed it. Bad things can and will happen to each one of us. But here he's saying endure. Endure. Keep going forward. No matter what comes against you, move forward. And in verse 4, he goes on to say, and as Christ's soldier, do not let yourself become tied up in the affairs of this life, for then you cannot satisfy the one who enlisted you in his army. What he's saying there is, in the King James Version, it says, don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. What he's saying there is, don't get so wrapped up in life that you forget the true calling of Christ. Don't get so sidetracked with fear and doubt. Don't get yourself wrapped up into things and to people and to problems that you forget what way you're going, what direction you're headed. You know, back in the Roman army, each soldier, they weren't allowed to have businesses. A lot of them weren't allowed to marry, do different things, because they wanted nothing to separate them from the goal. The goal of being in the army and conquering the world. Amen. See, that's theirs. That was their thing, was conquering the world. Ours is conquering Satan and dragging the world right with us to heaven. And he goes on further down in verse, where is it at? 8. It says, "Never forget that Jesus Christ was a man born unto the King David's family, and he was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained." So Paul's was writing from prison. In this passage, he's saying, because of the good news, I'm chained like a common criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. And this is what gets me in verse 10. It says, "I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus." Paul's saying, I'm chained up now, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to advance the cause of Christ. This is after the fact that he's been beaten several times, shipwrecked, been treated terribly. He says, "I'm willing to endure anything." Anything. He goes on to say, "This is a true saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. And if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Saying, if we die for him, we're going to live with him. If we endure hardship, and you're going to endure hardship, he's saying, we will reign with him if we keep our eye on the prize. Keep our eye on the things of God. And to answer that call, the call for the cause of Christ. You know, I stand right here, I stand here today before you because someone decided to answer the call. And Timothy, is it 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, if you'll throw that up there for me. It says, Paul was saying, "I remember your genuine faith. For you share the faith that first filled your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you." Timothy was there because of the people that were ahead of him, the veterans of the faith that walked before him, his mother and his grandmother. And you know, like I said, I'm here because of the veterans of the faith. Because back in the day, my grandmother decided they were going to church. She drugged my grandpa. He said, "I don't want no part of that. I'll take you and the kids, and I'll sit out in the parking lot, smoke, wait for y'all." So he did that. And he did that. He did that a couple more times. And all of a sudden, I remember this because he used to tell me these stories. He said, "I heard a call when I was sitting in the car. I heard something pulling me in to that church." And what did he do? He answered that call. And while he started out smoking in the parking lot, he threw the cigarettes down and started preaching for Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
And then they decided, you know what, we're going to train our children. That was my mom. My dad grew up the same way. And they decided, hey, you know what? We're going to train our children. Those veterans of the faith came before me to set me up to where I'm at right now. In front of you. Because you know it says in Psalm 78. It says, "Oh, my people, listen to my teaching. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and know, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children, but will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, and we will tell of His power and the mighty miracles He did."
Thank you, God.
That He did. "For He issued this decree to Jacob. He gave His law to Israel, and He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, that they in turn might teach their children." He's saying is setting up that legacy of faith. "Because of the veterans of the faith that came before me, I stand here." Because of veterans that are sitting right there on that front row. Veterans of the faith that said, "I'm going to give all that I have." That's why I can stand in this church. Because a veteran of the faith said, "We're pushing on. Come hell or high water, me and my house will do what? We will serve the Lord."
Hallelujah.
Get that. Verse 7, it says, "So each generation can set its hope anew on God, remembering His glorious miracles and obeying His commands. And they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give God their hearts," or their hearts to God. See, that's the thing. We're all part of the army of God, right?
Amen. Yes, we are.
We've all got a role to play. Some of us have been around a while, right?
Amen.
We got the scars to prove it.
Amen.
But you know what? Just like Paul's scars pointed to Christ, so do ours. Everything that I've gone through, everything that has happened to me, points straight back to Jesus. And that's something that, just like the veterans of the faith instilled into me, it's my job to instill that then into the next generation. Because like it says there, so each generation can set its hope anew on God. And that's our command. Keep it going forward. You know what? All of this faith and army, what is our reward? When it's all said and done. In 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Paul's wrapping up here and his letter to Timothy, and he says, "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near." Verse 7, it says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful." I fought the good fight. I finished the race, and I'm faithful. "And now the prize awaits me, a crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the great day of His return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to His glorious return." He said the prize at the end is a crown of righteousness. It's when we get to heaven and He looks at us at the gate and He says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." That's what I'm looking for. That's what I want. Is when it's all said and done, like Paul wraps it up there, he says, "As for me, I will fight the good fight. I will keep pressing on. So at the end, one, I can leave a legacy to other people, become a veteran of the faith that my son will talk about at some point. or his son will talk about. But ultimately, it's all about hearing those words. Well done. Well done. And here's the deal. I want to encourage you tonight. If you haven't yet answered that call of God, I encourage you to do so. If you haven't taken that step, do it. Because, yeah, sometimes it can be hard. But the prize at the end makes it all worth it. And you know, if you have answered that call, I want to say thank you and keep going forward. Keep pressing on no matter what comes before. Thank you.
You know, it's with great joy that I look at the sacrifice and the clarion call that Millie and I answered many years ago, and to see that one person can make a difference, two people can make a difference, one family can make a difference, this church can make a difference. And we do make a difference here. And what we have to ask ourselves every day, what the Lord wants to know is, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side today? As yesterday is dead and gone, who's on the Lord's side today? You may be hearing this message by CD. You may be driving, you may be online and hear this message on our website. And I'd like to just give everybody an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. If there's anybody in here that needs to come to Christ, I want you to stand up if you're ready. And for those of you that are listening by media and you're ready to answer the call, you to put your hand over your heart and say, Lord God, in Jesus' name, I come to you and I surrender what belongs to you. Come into my heart. Have your way with my life. In Jesus' name, I'm answering the call. In Jesus' name, let it be remembered on this Memorial Day that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against dark powers in dark places in the heavenlies, dark powers in the hearts of certain people. So we need the full armor of God. We need to be in soldiers alert every day. Would you stand with me? Let me speak a blessing to you. What are you supposed to do with this blessing? Let this blessing rest on you, your family, on your mind, on your spirit, in your heart. Let it rest. Let every man and woman and boy and girl here, and who will hear by media, just know that the Lord is for you. He's not against you. And while you're alive, There's hope for you. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on your loved ones. And I say unto each and every one of you, lift up your hands. If you're in a car, if you're in a house, put your hand over your heart. And I say to you, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance, his spirit. His spirit to win, his spirit to bless on you and give you a peace and a prosperity. Give you peace of mind and help you to win the battle of your heart and the battles of your life. Everyone said amen. God bless y'all. See you soon.